We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Yeah,
man. Here we go. This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky, and I'm laughing because Matt and I are recording, and we intended to stop one episode, and all of a sudden we've started a second episode. So here we are,
flying by the seat of our pants as usual. Yeah. Nothing new there, John.
Ready or not. Yes,
I didn't get my bathroom break, though. I usually take a bathroom break between recordings.
Are you going to be okay? Will you be all right, Mike? Can you get this in?
We'll see how it goes.
if you have to leave in the middle of the show.
I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
Okay.
Listeners, John. Yeah, I can make it.
Introduce yourself, by the way.
Yourself. Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark here in St. Louis, Missouri, where I serve as pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church.
And this is Wrestling with the Basics. If you haven't figured that out already, the whole disarray of what's going on should have given that away. Angels, you want to talk about angels. But first, Matt, if you don't mind, could you read Mark 9, 28 through 29 real quick? Because there's one final comment I want to make.
Definitely. So this is comes at the very end of that episode with Jesus being encountered by the father who has a demon-possessed child, Jesus casting out the demon, and even raising the boy up when he appears to be dead. And this is what follows then. The disciples have a little conversation with Jesus. So verse 29 says, "And when they entered the house, his disciples asked Jesus privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And Jesus said to them, 'This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer.'"
And so the practical advice I take from that, if you too have encountered a problem and it just isn't getting better, as it was in this case of this man and his demon-possessed boy, it just got worse and worse and worse until, of course, Jesus finally does what no one thought he could do, which was raise the boy from the dead. But here's my advice. If there's something you can do, do it. Okay. So, you know, if you see a hungry person, what should you do, Matt?
Feed them.
Yeah. If somebody thirsty, give them a drink. If they're naked, clothe them. Go visit them when they're, So there's all kinds of things we can do. And again, if you can do something for yourself, if the doctor says, you know what, you have high blood pressure. So why don't you take a high blood pressure pill? Don't say, oh, that's okay, doc. I'll pray to God and he'll take care. No, maybe that doctor is God's answer to your prayers. Maybe that pill is what God wants to do to you. So if there's something you can do for yourself, do it too. But you will run into situations where literally there is nothing you can do. And then I think the best thing to do is just what Jesus said. Well, then just pray about it, okay? Just pray about it. Let God take it from there. So I just thought that was some really good advice from Jesus. There are situations where you literally can't do anything about it, okay? But it doesn't mean you can't pray about it. You certainly should. And then just wait and see what the Lord does. Because he can do a lot of things we can't.
Great, John. Yeah. You know, and prayer is, you know, an act of faith, really, because if we didn't have faith, why else would we be praying to God, right? And the disciples earlier had failed to cast out that demon. They weren't able to, and it seems like they're probably embarrassed about it. And so they asked Jesus, why can't we do this? And he says, it cannot be cast out by anything but prayer. And, you know, it makes me wonder, were the disciples just trusting in themselves, looking to themselves, when they failed at healing this demon-possessed child? And it seems to be the case. Jesus says, pray. And in prayer, we're looking to God for that help, for that aid. We're looking outside of ourselves. Instead of looking inside of ourselves, we're looking outside of ourselves to God with faith. Yeah.
Well, and you had alluded last week to it, and I agree with you, especially if you look at the context here where the disciples are arguing about who's the greatest.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I think you're right. I think they were putting their confidence in themselves. They thought, we can do this on our own. Which again, the answer, as you said, then is prayer. Then don't do it on your own. Then turn to the Lord Jesus and just patiently wait for him to do what he wants to do. And you know what? If pride is the issue, he has a great way of taking care of that. Trust me. He's done it to me 100 times when I've gotten cocky. He said, oh, I can take care of that. That's no problem, John. And then I end up being like the idiot that I really am. So anyway, now, though, we have a whole new subject. And we've thrown Matt in this without any chance to get a breather because of the, again, the stupidity of me trying to work the controls here. Angels. And you really left us with a teaser. There is something that we don't usually think about angels that you want to. So are you going to start with that, or are we going to start with the stuff that we usually do think about angels? Where do you want to go, Matt?
Good question, John.
What scripture? Do you have a scripture, or what are we doing here?
Well, we're going to be jumping all around, John. So buckle up, and no single verse to turn to, but you'll see why.
I'm pulling my Bible out right now. I'm ready.
Okay, good deal. So why talk about angels? Well, recently the church observes what's called a feast of St. Michael and all angels. That's September the 29th this year. It fell on a Sunday. And so we thought here at Ascension Leeds, well, let's celebrate that. It's a good teaching opportunity because we probably could stand to learn a little more about angels, correct teaching about angels. So I did a little research about angels. There was a Gallup poll in 2023 here in the U.S. 58% of people believe in the devil, which, frankly, is a little higher
surprising,
than I expected.
Yeah.
That's kind of good to hear because he is real. 59% believe in hell. Okay, so we got over half. 68% believe in heaven.
Okay.
But nearly 70% believe in angels, which I thought was kind of interesting. More people believe in angels than believe in heaven. So the question is, though, well, what exactly do people believe about angels, though, right? They believe
that
they exist.
The question. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But what else do they believe about that? And, sadly, I think we're probably better informed by Hollywood than we are by God's holy word when it comes to angels. Yeah. And so here's an opportunity that I think the church year calendar affords us to do a little teaching, to kind of set the record straight on who angels are. The blessing they are, what angels are not, and to look to Holy Scripture for those answers. So let's start.
Matt.
Yeah, go ahead.
Matt, I don't mean to interrupt you, but see, I know when the bell rings, they get their wings, right? Is that what you're going to talk about?
That's the Hollywood part I was talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's not in the Bible?
For those who are fans of It's a Wonderful Life, Clarence gets his wings at the end. Sorry, spoiler alert. And I mean, the list goes on, right? Angels in the outfield and these angelic assistants for this baseball team, and the movie Michael, where John Travolta plays the Archangel Michael. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff out there. What are some things that we usually talk about when we talk about angels? From the Bible even. What are some things we usually talk about? One of the comes to my mind is they're God's messengers, right? The Greek word it literally means messenger, and we see throughout the scriptures, they're delivering messages, speaking the word of the Lord to people. Another thing we can focus on with angels is how they are their spirits. The book of Hebrews calls them ministering spirits, but they also are able to take on human form at times. Hebrews also talks about how some have entertained angels unawares, right? So spirits, can take on a human form as well. We could talk about how people don't become angels when they die. I don't know as a pastor, John, if you ran into that, but I
all
sure do.
Yeah.
And I think people, they're just trying to bring comfort to others who are grieving, but, they're an angel now, or they've earned their wings, or, wait a second. That's not how it works. I think God has a better plan for us even. We are still in heaven. For those who die in Christ, we still have the same body that God created us with, especially the resurrection. We're still the same person that Jesus redeemed on the cross. We don't become an angel. We're still ourselves, the people that God created us to be.
Matt, Can I tell you one reason why you don't want to be an angel after you die? Because one of the big things that goes on in heaven is banqueting, and angels, I don't know whether you would say they don't or they can't eat. That's just not part of the program if you're an angel. So you'd be up there and everyone else would be enjoying these nice T-bone steaks and lobster and shrimp or whatever it is. Maybe you're a vegetarian. We don't care. And if you're an angel, you just sit there and watch. So, yeah, you don't want to be an angel.
There you go.
No.
For that reason alone, don't be an angel. Yeah.
No Ted Drew's ice cream for angels.
Oh, my goodness, John. Yeah. Now you're talking my language. But yeah, I mean, really, you know, we're very blessed as human beings, you know, kidding aside. I mean, even on, you know, this side of heaven, we've got the blessing of marriage and that special relationship and children. Angels aren't blessed in that way. We also have the opportunity to tell people about Jesus. I mean, and serve our neighbor in ways that angels maybe quite aren't able to do. Still messengers, right? Still share the gospel, no doubt. But we are able to do that in a special way in our vocations as people. That's pretty cool. You know, another thing sometimes we talk about with angels is, especially St. Michael and all angels, the Bible readings for that weekend are about St. Michael and about kind of angels as warriors.
There's
some instances in the Bible where the angels are doing battle or bringing about death or destruction. And certainly angels can play that role too. They're not just little cherubs, but you know, more than that too. Those different things about angels, certainly any of them are appropriate to talk about. Scripture talks about them and we could go into greater detail about any of those things. But there is something different I was going to talk about, John.
All right. Well just before we leave those things though, one of my wife's favorite stories is the story of where the Syrians are coming to get Elisha.
Oh yeah.
You know, and so they've got him surrounded and his servant, of course, is getting kind of nervous, as I would too if I was surrounded by this army. And so Elisha prays that the Lord would open his servant's eyes. And so it says the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So, of course, the horses and chariots of fire, there are the angels who greatly outnumbered the Syrians. So you're right. In fact, I wonder if people know that the word Sabaoth in our liturgy, we talk about Lord of the Sabaoth, and I think people right away think it's the worship day. No, it means armies. He's the Lord of the armies. And boy, there's all kinds of stories. What was it, 130,000 people, Assyrians were killed who were surrounding the city of Jerusalem. Well, whatever. Yeah. So that is. Not that there's a one-to-one correspondence. I don't think the Bible ever says. And if you were a guy like me, as clumsy as me, you probably need more than one guardian angel. I probably need a legion of angels. But yeah, that's the thing. So you're right. I just wanted to point that out. They do. They are watching over and guarding us. But you're suggesting there's something more?
Yes, John. There's more. Okay. But isn't that beautiful? If we had our eyes open, you know, to see the angels around us, that would be amazing. We'd probably be overwhelmed.
On the other hand, Matt, if we did have our eyes open, we'd probably also be scared to death because we'd also see the devil and all the fiery arrows he has aimed at us as well. Of course, maybe that would be good. So we'd, as you talked about a few weeks ago, we'd make sure we have that armor of God and the shield of faith. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead, Matt.
No. Good points. So what I want to talk about, John, is how angels are like Walter Cronkite.
Whoa, I didn't see that coming.
I bet you didn't see that one coming.
No.
All right, let me explain myself, John. Walter Cronkite. So Walter Cronkite, you're old enough to know Walter Cronkite, right?
Yeah.
Arguably probably the most famous journalist anchorman of the 20th century, at least in the United States, and had a career that spanned from the late 1930s to the 1980s, voted the most trusted man in America, even at one point. But, you know, Walter Cronkite, when there was an important event in the world, he was there. Maybe, you know, if he wasn't physically there, he was at least there in America's living rooms on their television sets. He was there. And you think about how he reported on World War II and the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the assassination of President Kennedy, the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., a Watergate, you know, the moon landing. If it was important, Walter Cronkite, he was there.
And we trusted him, Matt. That's what I miss. I don't have anywhere I can go now and know that for sure I'm getting an unbiased presentation. But with Walter Cronkite, we knew that. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You know, now you kind of get your own version of the news wherever you want to find it, your own slant. But it's just kind of an objective reporting, right? The thing I wanted to just really bring out is when something important happened, Walter Cronkite was there. And there's the angel connection. If something important happens in Scripture, the angels are there. The angels are there when the most important events in Scripture take place, especially if they're connected to Jesus Christ. If it's important, angels are there. And so I think it's interesting to just sort of go through the Scriptures, John, and just think about those times, highlight those times where the angels were there. We started creation, right? You know, they're created beings. They were there. God creates them in those 6 days of creation. But then even after the fall into sin and Adam and Eve disobey God, eat that forbidden fruit. And not only are they fallen, but all of creation tainted by sin. God promises a savior and then angels are there. So a cherubim on a flaming sword, they're guarding the tree of life. And a reminder that, you know, if Adam and Eve want to get back to Eden, back to perfection, it's not by going backwards, back to the garden. It's by looking forward to the Savior who's coming. Angels are there. Angels are there. So after promising that Savior, when God keeps that promise to send that Savior, angels are there again. We think about the angel Gabriel. One of two named angels in the Bible, Michael and Gabriel, who's sent to talk to the Virgin Mary to announce that, she's going to have a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and the Son of the Most High. And then when Jesus is actually born, Christmas night, again, the angels are there as the shepherds keep watch over their flocks by night. Yeah. Announcing that,
and he was born this day. They all turned out for that, didn't they?
Isn't that cool?
So
this the whole multitude of the heavenly hosts, you know, this countless number, in other words, singing glory to God in the highest. And then, you know, we fast forward a little bit. When Jesus grows up, he's baptized, then he's sent out of the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, right? Three times Satan tempts him, three times Jesus resists. For our sake, he remains perfect, sinless, and after the devil's defeated and finally flees, angels come and minister to Jesus. They're there too. Fast forward a few more years, Garden of Gethsemane, right? The night that Jesus is betrayed, he knows he's going to be arrested. He knows that his suffering and death is on the way. And as he prays, his sweat is falling like drops of blood, and we're told that an angel from heaven comes to strengthen him that he might continue his mission according to his father's will. What I think is interesting, though, John, is on Calvary, though, as Jesus dies, angels aren't there.
No angels. Right? No angels.
And that's kind of shocking because, again, all these important events, but yet, you know, this most important of events, Jesus' death for us, no angels. No one there to give Jesus comfort, to rescue him. No one.
Matt, even for a time, even his heavenly father is not there. Yeah,
exactly. You know, the angels are kind of told, stand down.
Because
earlier in the garden, Jesus has talked about how he could call upon 12 legions of angels. You know, if you do the math, that's about 72,000 angels that Jesus could call upon instantly to rescue him, but he didn't. Instead, he willingly dies for the sins of the world, for the sins of Adam and Eve, and everyone since and everyone to come, that all who look to him in faith would have forgiveness and life.
I like that phrase, stand down.
Yeah.
And I think that's a perfect, because they are armed forces. That's what a host means. Perfect.
Although, and aware of what's taking place, I'm sure, right? They probably wanted to rescue. This is Jesus.
Yeah,
this is
God the Son.
This is the one whose birth we announced and we sang at his birth. Remember, in front of the shepherds, and you know, and now And now we just have to stand here and watch as he dies.
Yeah.
But then, good news, 3 days later, the angels are there on Easter Sunday, right? And I love that account, you know, and the angel rolls away the stone even and then sits on top of it. I think it's almost comical. Appearance as bright as lightning and then shares that beautiful news that, don't be afraid, Mary's. Jesus is not here. He's risen just as he said. So the angel, the first one to proclaim, Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. So that's a beautiful proclamation, beautiful message. Angels there, Jesus' ascension, 40 days later, right? Jesus goes up into heaven, hidden by the clouds, and then two angels appear, and they share good news with his followers that this same Jesus who was taken up into heaven is going to come in the same way you saw him going to heaven. He's going to return. The angels there too. And until that day, I think it's important for us to remember, until Christ returns, angels are here. You know, as you said earlier, John.
Yeah.
Angels are with us. They're sent to serve and protect us as children of God. They guard us in all of our ways. We pray in Luther's morning and evening prayers, let your holy angel be with us at the evil foe, right? Satan has no power over us. And angels are here with us when we gather in worship around word and sacrament. You know, we think about how we sing about the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven joining us in praise of God Most High. We sing our hosannas, especially as we commune together around the altar. Yeah, angels are right there with us. And angels are also there when we share the gospel with other people. So as we tell other people about Jesus, and as they come to repentance and believe by the power of the Spirit, we're told the angels rejoice in heaven. So that's pretty cool. So as we share the gospel with others, you know, we're giving angels reason to rejoice, you know, as people repent and as they turn to Christ. And then, you know, angels will be there as we look toward the future. And they'll be there at the time of our death. At least that certainly seems to be the case. I think of that example of Lazarus, the poor man who dies in faith, and then his death is described in such a beautiful way. The angels carrying him to Abraham's bosom, Abraham's side, in heaven. What a beautiful picture.
And you know, Matt, it says it more than once that the angels are sent out to gather his elect. So that's the thing that always, so if you're ever at the deathbed of a friend or your own deathbed, it's nice to know that you're not going to go to Sheol, you're not going to go to the pit or to hell. No, as soon as you die, the angels are right there to take you to the place that Christ has prepared for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? And I have, our family knows someone who works with hospice patients, just kind of cares for them as, you know, in those final days, and, talks about it as really kind of holy ground because, the angels are there, it seems, in these final hours before someone dies. And what a comfort. I think too, as a pastor, sometimes there's family members who are really distraught that they were not physically there when their loved one died.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I went home and I was just exhausted, pastor, and they passed away while I was, sleeping. Well, that's okay. They weren't alone. You know, the Lord is certainly with them, but his holy angels, I would say, are with them too. They weren't alone. They were attended to. They were cared for, no doubt about it. Yeah. So at the time of our death, for the angels to carry us to our Heavenly Father's presence in paradise. And what a comfort. Great comfort. Angels will be there at Jesus' return too. Maybe we won't experience death, John. Wouldn't that be great? You know, maybe Christ will return first. And Jesus makes this promise that when he returns, the angels will accompany him as well. And I would say, boy, that sight is going to be even greater than the heavenly hosts on the night of his birth. Because this time he's coming not as a little baby and not to suffer and eventually die, but he's coming as king to rule and to reign. And it's the angels, but it's also, all the dead being raised and those who are alive meeting him in the clouds. I mean, wow, it's just unimaginable what that's going to be like. Thessalonians gives us a, you know, or Jesus rather gives us a little a glimpse here. He promises when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, it seems like every single angel is going to be there. He will sit on his glorious throne. What a sight that's going to be. Every single angel, you know, in heaven is going to come at Jesus' return and be there as he takes his body and soul with him into heaven. You know, pretty
cool. And to me, the comfort of that is the fact that you don't need to worry about getting left out. Because, like you said, the angel's job is to gather us, and they'll all be there. So, you know, there's no chance that, oh, we forgot about John. Oh, he's still, no. That's why they're all there, so they can gather all of us together with the angels and with the Lord Jesus in heaven.
Yeah. I like that parable about the sower, the seed, the farmer. There's both the weeds and the good seed, you know, the wheat that sprouts up together. And what should we do? Should we tear out the weeds? No, wait till harvest time. And then the harvesters come and they just kind of sort it out, right? The weeds are thrown away and the good grain is gathered. And then Jesus explains that parable for us. And he says, the harvesters are the angels. And it's really going to be, at the end of the age. Yeah, everything will be sorted out. And don't worry, we're going to be gathered together. No fear of being left behind or left out. God's got us.
Oh, yeah, left behind. Yeah, thank you. That's right. Yeah, no one's left behind.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly. So just to kind of wrap this up, John, I was, kind of researching about Walter Cronkite, thinking of him, and I came across his very last broadcast on the CBS Evening News.
Oh, wow.
As anchorman. So he signs off for the very last time with humility, and he just sort of acknowledges that all he did was report the news. he was just a messenger. That's all he did. It was a, very humble way of saying that. And I think, that's the way it is with angels, right? If it was important, angels were there, no doubt about it. It's pretty cool to look at scripture through that lens. But I would imagine that the holy angels, they would be the very first ones to say with humility that, the Bible is not all about them. That's not why it's written. That they as angels are first and foremost, they're just messengers. They're messengers who proclaim ultimately the top story, the headline news, salvation in Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And we thank God for the angels to be a part of that proclamation and showing us that these things are important, even as God sends his holy angels to be present during those moments where God brings about our salvation. Yeah. Anything to add, John, in our closing moments?
So here's the thing. According to the FCC equal time doctrine, I mean, I appreciate everything you had to say about the good angels, but I'm proposing that when we gather next time, maybe we better give equal time to the evil angels. You did mention the general of the good angels, Saint Michael, but I think it might be well to also talk about the general of the evil angels, Satan. And where does he come from, and what does he have to do with this beautiful story you've shared with us? So if that's all right with you, we'll pick up the other side of the angels next week on Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.